There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Mobile phones are now banned in French schools by law. It is illegal for French primary and middle-aged school children up to the age of 15 to use their phones in school during the day, with the exception for disabled children and in the case of emergency. Children must turn their phones off or shut them away in lockers. Teachers are able to confiscate them until the end of the day if pupils break the law. In a poll commissioned by cybersecurity specialist ESET, 70% of parents over the United Kingdom believe a similar move should be implemented in the UK, and that 93% think there should be greater governance of mobile phone usage during school hours. Tablets, smartwatches, also banned. The French government hope that it will help children make friends more easily and be more physically active at break time, as well as helping to tackle online bullying. The study, Technology Distraction and Student Performance 2015 by the LSE, that's the London School of Economics and Political Science, has showed that banning smartphones in schools caused a clear improvement in students' test scores. So the battle lines have been drawn up. Should we be banning smartphones from schools? Some say yes. Why? Because it brings less physical activity during time off. The only time that kids get to stretch their legs and exercise is during recesses, is during time off. What happens when you let your children bring their phones to school? The obvious: school kids who would otherwise be running around, playing ball, getting grass stains on their school uniform, ripping their school shirts, and all other ne'er-do-welling, they just end up hanging around looking at their tiny screens and comparing notes via that. So that's one reason why we should ban smartphones from schools. What about allowing smartphones in schools? What are the arguments there? Well, one of the many arguments is that many schools today don't have the equipment needed to make technology accessible for their students. This is where smartphones as learning aids really do come into their own and come into the picture. These days, every handheld device have more processing power than all of NASA's computer when they landed a man on the moon all those years ago. So why not have that encyclopedia, thesaurus, dictionary, and basically a fact finder to hand at all points during the school day? It's a difficult one. I get it. I get the problem that it's something that teachers and educators need to police, Georgia Tolley. But at the same time, surely they're fighting a losing battle here.
They are. But I think it's the right battle, surely. I mean, ultimately, there's all this talk about mobile phones being, you know, being used for educational purposes, and whether or not teachers should be put into a role where they have to sort of stop and search for phones. But essentially, we all know what children are doing with their mobile phones. Right now, today, they're taking art selfies of each other because that's what everyone's doing. And they're playing games, and they're swapping sort of, well, I worry that they're swapping dodgy photographs of each other that sort of for bullying purposes. They're certainly not sitting down and going, oh, this afternoon in the break, I'm going to Wikipedia Einstein and find out more. They're using them for leisure. And now that you can download TV programs, they're probably just watching TV. And you know that the moment a mobile phone gets produced in a group of children, there could be children miles away playing football. They can sniff them. And they come in and they're like hordes, sort of wasps to honey. Maybe bees to honey would be a better analogy. And they all swarm in. And that's exactly what a phone does in a school. Ban them.
I take the point to a certain degree where you're right. I mean, you know, we don't want to look at this through rose-tinted glasses all the way. But I can vouch for the fact that kids still do run around and hare around school playgrounds when they get given a bit of time off, because the energy demands that way. But equally, they will also find a moment to get around in a little group and play one of these online games, Fortnite or otherwise, children of a certain age. But I've dropped my kids off at school this morning. My eldest boy he's just gone up into senior school, so he takes his phone into school now.
Is that allowed?
It's allowed because he needs to get hold of me at the end of the day.
Okay.
Because his mother's abandoned us. Not forever, before we start causing all sorts of problems.
She has gone to take your eldest daughter to
elsewhere.
School.
Yeah.
She has not abandoned you.
She's not here,
you.
So it's on Dad. The onus is on Dad.
Baked
and
beans.
Dad's not very good at timings. And Dad, it might be late. And therefore, in order to stay in touch, he needs to let me know where I need to pick him up, etc.
Okay.
And things like that. So it's from that purpose, you can understand the usage. And therefore, from a parental point of view, it's ideal,
yeah.
Because it's able to, he knows where I am, I know where he is,
yeah.
We're organising where
safety.
To pick up at the end of the day. Safety,
yeah.
Efficiency, staying in touch. But at the same time, that phone is on him throughout the entire day. So
and
I don't know what he's doing with that throughout the entire day.
And is it a smartphone? I mean, obviously it's a smartphone, right? You haven't bought your children a Nokia 8210.
I wouldn't do that to a that's just
a clamshell.
I mean, these days that is just
is that like
a red rag for bullying, isn't it? Surely.
What, to give them a really useless phone?
It's not top of the range or anything.
No,
like
no,
that,
but he has got a smartphone.
He's
okay.
got yeah, he's got access to,
and
to other information.
From a school point of view, does the school let him have the phone?
Yeah.
Okay, so they are allowed in schools here.
Yeah. But obviously you have to be monitored and you can't yeah. use them all the time. And I'm sure you can't use them
in history,
although that would be useful. Because as you mentioned, we're going to go to a break now. There's these trends, these fads, these crazes that go on, aren't there, at the moment? Brandy introduced us to what a little earlier on today?
It's the art selfie. Now, if you want to see what Tom really looks like, you need to look on Twitter and figure out whether you think they're similar to you. I've done, Brandy came in and just did me as well, so I'll do, mine is really not flattering.
So we'll get on to those in just a little while. This is a new Google app that allows you to work out who you're most like in historical
Portraits, basically.
Portraits.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's the Google Arts and Culture, and it's the new app, and it's been out in the States for probably about a year now, and it's just been released in the UAE and worldwide, and so now you can do it right here, right now.
So if children did not have access to that via their smartphones, then they wouldn't be doing it
yeah.
in school playgrounds around the UAE and the world today, as if.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. On The Agenda with Tom Urquhart, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Cheers for your text messages already this morning. Keep them coming in. 4001. You can give us a call on 04871 5500. Listen, this story today has been prompted by the fact that France has banned smartphone use in all of its schools. Now, bans over in France are nothing new, but this one really has touched a nerve the world over, as a number of educational establishments, a number of governments the world over look on with interest to see what the reaction will be from students, parents, and of course educators alike. French students will have their social media scrolling forcibly ended during school hours throughout this upcoming academic year after French lawmakers voted to ban smartphone use in schools. They've decided that students under the age of 15 must leave their cell phones at home, or at least have them turned off during the entirety of the school day. French high schools will be allowed to decide whether they implement the ban within the classroom. The measure goes further. It prohibits the use of tablets, computers, and other internet-connected devices. There are exceptions in place for students with disabilities and for the educational use of devices in the classroom and in extracurricular activities. This was a campaign promise of Emmanuel Macron, the French president, and after the measure was passed, he tweeted, "Commitment held." So the question we're asking you today is, would such a measure work here in the UAE? A number of people getting involved with the conversation. To help prompt that conversation a little further, let's go to the director of Jumeirah English Speaking School, Jess, right here in Dubai. Mark Stee joins us live on the line. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Good to hear from you. Good to hear you so chipper as well in the first week of a brand new academic year. And thanks for your time this morning. I know it's precious as we start that new academic year. Give us your thoughts, first and foremost, on this move by the French government and French schools to have an outright ban. Do you watch on with interest, or do you vehemently disagree?
No, I disagree. I don't think we should be banning smartphones. I mean, I think the schools that have done it in the UK, I mean, one or two have tried it, and all that happens is the pupils hand in one phone and have another one in their pocket. So I think we need to educate. We're schools. We're there to educate people. Educating them, young people, about the use of new technologies is absolutely essential. This is the world they live in, the world they're going to live in for the rest of their lives. And just by banning it during the day isn't going to be realistic. We're not going to be preparing young people to go on into the adult world with the skills that they need. So I'm very much in for you know, schools obviously have to take a strong view on it. We have to have clear policies in place. We need to say where it's appropriate and where it's not appropriate, and what appropriate behaviour is. But I do think we need to, you know, to avoid banning them. I mean, it's just it's not going to be an approach that is fundamentally educational.
It's interesting you mentioned that, or use that phrase, they are here to stay, and it's all about sort of embracing and trying to incorporate them into curriculums and teaching ways. I mean, one of the things that one of the arguments thrown at mobile phones or smartphones within the school environment is that it is making children become less physical or less physically active, because during break time, rather than herring around playgrounds, they are reverting to the tiny screen. Is that a clear and present concern for us at the moment?
I think it is, and particularly in this country where, you know, we've got a, you know, a large number of obese children. So I do think we need to get young people active. It needs to be part of school programs, and I think we need to encourage young people to do that. And certainly what we've tried to do is to sort of increase the amount of games time that people have got. We're putting on activities at lunch times and so on in order to get people active. We're trying to get people out of sort of the dark corners and get them into sort of public areas where they will socialize and they will be more active. And I think schools have a responsibility to do that, and we're fighting against this new technology, but I think we've got to work around it rather than just banning it.
The other argument that they've proffered for this one, or one of them, for reasoning behind the law, is it's helping children make more friends. So this goes back to this whole idea of the social network, and for the fact that children find it easier to befriend people via mobile phones these days than face to face. Again, this is not something I see day to day. You get the opportunity to see the interaction within the school playground on a day to day basis. Is this a concern? Is this what's happening at the moment, or can we still rely on good old making friends in the playground?
I think the whole debate around this is one generation judging a younger generation by its own standards. I mean, the fact that we grew up climbing trees and running around and had a very active upbringing, and that we made friends and communicated with them in that way, in a different way, face to face, fundamentally, is not the world they're growing up in. You know, they communicate enormously with each other, much more than we ever did, actually. I mean, they communicate by text. They're on Instagram. They're on Snapchat. They're on all of their social media. They are communicating with each other. They're making friends, and those friendships extend and develop beyond, you know, the real in the real world, and they develop what's going on in the real world. They extend it when they've gone home, you know, from school. I don't see, you know, walking around my school, I don't see young people who haven't got friends. You know, it's just that their friendships are played out in a slightly different way.
I'm just wondering about some of the reports I've read recently about, and the research that's been done recently about mobile phones and the apps being pretty addictive. And obviously you've got adults trying to spend less time on their phones, and you're trying to prevent their children from going on them so much. Do you think that in the future they might be seen as a bit of a malign influence, and so therefore something that you shouldn't have in schools? Do you feel that we're behind the curve maybe on realizing how dangerous phones could be?
I think that there's undoubtedly they can be addictive. I mean, we know this as adults. I mean, God, we can, you know, I mean, we've even got to the point where, you know, people are putting road crossings in, you know, to warn you that you're going to be crossing a road while you're texting. So, I mean, and one of the issues here is that as adults, we're very bad role models. I mean, one of my personal sort of aims for the year is I'm not going to walk around the school texting, you know, sort of thing. You know, it's so tempting just to check your emails when you get a moment when you're walking across the quad. And I'm not going to do that this year. I'm not very good at it. I won't succeed every day. But you know, we need to role model for young people how we use mobile phones, and we also need to help them to do it. And I think there will be a case, obviously, in lessons. Obviously, we don't want them connected, you know, on social media, doing all that sort of stuff. There will be times when they will use their phones in lessons for, you know, for good purposes. They'll film each other as part of one of their projects. They'll use photographs and whatever. It's a great tool, but like all tools, it can be used for good or used for ill.
I suppose it's a double-edged sword to a certain degree, isn't it? Because we look at this French ban and it seems to be fairly wide-ranging, given the fact it's not just smartphones, also personal tablets, smart watches as well. And again, does this send the wrong message? Because there is a large part of the educator community at the moment, they're looking to embrace tablets within the classroom environment. If you're banning it on the one hand, is that therefore sending a negative opinion to the students?
Well, there is a difference, of course, between people using devices in lessons. I mean, where they're running through the school internet. I mean, we've got a system going in which enables the teachers to take control of the devices during lessons, so they can sort of shut the students' devices down and talk to the class as a whole, and they can't be doing other stuff. They can close the screens. You can't do that on a smartphone. And of course, the other thing is we can regulate the internet access through the school network. Now, the one of the biggest challenges I think we have as society is that we're giving young people smartphones and full internet access and through 3G, 4G at a very, very young age. So, and I often use the analogy of learning to cross the road. You know, you don't teach a child, you know, you don't sort of, you know, when we're teaching young people to cross the road, we sort of take them, the first few times we go across with them, we show them where to cross, how to cross across the road, and as they get older, they get more autonomy and learn how to do it. I think a lot of parents are giving children their children smartphones, and you alluded to this to the conversation earlier when you were chatting with Georgia. You know, I wouldn't do that to my child. I wouldn't give them a brick. Well, why not? If you're going to pick them up from school and, you know, they're 10 years old, they don't need a smartphone. They don't need full access to everything that's out there. Whereas if you've got a brick, you can contact them, you can text them, you can let them know you're running late. So I think we've got to have a debate about what age we move into this smartphone environment, where we're going to totally deregulate what they're accessing on the internet. And that's the debate, I think, about where we are with young people. And I think it's got to be around about 12, 13, you know, rather than, you know, sort of 5 or 6, which is where it practices at the moment.
Good point. Well made. It's got me thinking as well, Mr. Steed. So noted. Thank you very much indeed. We'll have that conversation on the pickup a little later on. Listen, I know it's busy time for you, Mark, so I won't keep you any longer. Really appreciate your time this morning to you and all the team up at Jess. Have a good one throughout the rest of the term.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Cheers. Mark Steed there, Director of Jumeirah English Speaking School, right here in Dubai.
The Agenda on Dubai Eye 103.8. Get involved. Text us on 4001.
Thanks very much indeed to all those that have been sending their thoughts. This one from Serla saying, this should be a no-brainer. I really hope that the rest of Europe and the rest of the world will follow suit. Thanks also to Futi, who's been in touch, saying, for sure, kids today need to learn discipline more than ever before. So keep those thoughts coming in. This one from Hote, who's been in touch, H-O-E-T, saying, more like the rest of the world. It's sad to see how everyone's glued to their phones today, inside, out, outside, wherever you are. Appreciate that one. GT, what are you seeing?
John in Motor City said, it's all about finding the right balance, and I can't do this with my children. They sneak off with their phones and completely ignore me. For example, last evening I'd said goodnight to my 13-year-old daughter, and then when I went to bed later on, I saw the light reflecting from her room and she was on her mobile phone in bed. She said she was just watching a TV program, but how can we find the balance at home without being a Victorian dad?
Let us go to the lines. Let's speak to Andy, who joins us now. Andy, you're not a Victorian dad, are you?
No, definitely not.
But do you think that phones should be... Do they have a place at school or should they not?
Ban them. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, Tom. I think that you're British, correct?
Correct.
Okay, why do you speak like an American?
I don't know. I suppose it's that expat twang that I've picked up over the years.
No. I don't mean with your accent. I mean with your grammar. For example, if you're British, it's a mobile phone, correct?
Yes.
So why do you call it a cellular telephone?
True, yeah. That's the thing that we picked up, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, it goes on throughout Dubai Eye with the social media speak of redundant use of actually, essentially, basically, all the redundant words that pour in, which are all picked up off social media, all picked up by you. You're just addicted to it. And the problem with these games, this social media, these games and these programs are specifically designed to become addictive.
Mm.
And of course, the language is addictive, as you amply demonstrate yourself, and indeed most of the other presenters on Dubai I demonstrate. In fact, I'll send you a document, which is the disaster and decline of the English language. But you're addicted. The programs are designed to addict, and you're taking a child who is very, very easily influenced, and you are addicting them at an early age. And that's just wrong.
Yeah,
and it's addicted purely and simply to make money. It's addicted to make money. Now, we have this learned gentleman who's a school teacher. Amazing. He thinks that it's preparing children for the adult world. Well, I don't think when you're 25 you're going to be playing World of Tanks or World of Warships. I think you'll have probably grown out of that. So I don't see how having the ability to play games on your mobile is preparing you for the adult world. It's just ridiculous. And based upon my experience with school headmasters, having had several emails, incidentally from English school headmasters, they can't spell.
And do you think...
They cannot write a letter with correct punctuation, correct spelling, and correct grammar. And one of the reasons why the spelling becomes a little incorrect is, guess why? Because Microsoft defaults on Word to English, United States.
Yeah.
So you get everything spelt with Z's, or as we should say, Z's, as opposed to S's. I mean, it's barmy.
And do you think that's becoming the sort of default setting for so many youngsters growing up these days? Not just youngsters, but as our headmaster, Mark, was telling us a little earlier on, you know, grown-ups have become more and more addicted to their phones and their screens. Therefore, they're falling into those traps.
But there's no question about it. My brother went out with his family for his birthday, bracket, which he paid for his dinner, close bracket, and he said, okay, there's a rule, I'm paying no mobiles. And there was a big bust up with his children, who were all in their mid late 20s, and it's not fair, and we can't, and we won't be able to do this. And anyway, there were no mobiles. At the end of the dinner, his eldest daughter walked outside and said, do you know something, that was just incredible, not having a mobile there, because we had a conversation instead of texting and having a look at your Facebook page and, oh, someone's liked me. I mean, it's just sad. It's just sad. But it's addictive. This stuff is designed to be psychologically addictive, and it's all to make money.
Just got a couple of text messages coming through, Andy, on response to your comments a little earlier on. Somebody texting in saying, cellular, mobile, one and the same thing. We are an international population these days. Surely both should count. I mean, does that matter where you were brought up with regards to which words you use these days?
Well, I think in that case we should go and look at the United States, which still has, feet and inches. It still has pounds and ounces.
Yeah.
Let's adopt their system, because unfortunately, the United States is the only country in the world, with the exception of some of Canada and a bit of Mexico. uses English United States. But it's driven in by Microsoft. But I think it is very much an obligation of anybody to retain their style and their mannerisms and their language of their country. I mean, it's a bit like saying to an Emirati, oh, we're an international country, so you should all speak English now and stop speaking Arabic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, I'm sorry, you can't wear your traditional clothes because you have to wear your international clothes. No, retain your identity, please.
No, it's a great point.
Be proud of it.
It's a great point as well, you're quite right as well. I mean, it continues to be a petrol station, doesn't it? Not a gas station.
Exactly. Yes.
Good point.
Oh yes.
Good point. Well
yeah,
made.
Yeah, because gas would be selling gas, as in liquefied petroleum gas, as opposed to gasoline.
Quite right too. No, and we could go on. We could dedicate an entire show to this one. Vacations versus holidays.
Tomatoes versus tomatoes.
Well, I'll give you a challenge, Tom.
Go on.
Right, and this goes through particularly to Natalie Lindo Taylor's show. Try counting how many times during the show you use a redundant word, which is actually, basically.
Done.
Essentially, just count them. And the other one is this: if you get asked a question, do you agree with X? Why don't people just answer yes? Why do they say absolutely?
Exactly. Is that.
What's wrong with absolutely? It just shows enthusiasm, doesn't it? Isn't it more positive than yes? It's with feeling.
It is what is grammatically termed as a redundant fill word.
But what if you don't say yes? What if you just say absolutely? Doesn't it take the place of yes?
I mean, the choices are, do you agree? And the answers are two, yes. Well, there's three, actually. Yes, no, or I don't know, right? So it's not absolutely. It's just yes or no.
Andy, you're a stickler, and I like it.
Or why do people answer with, yes, I agree 100%? I mean, what's that about? I mean, when you've said yes, you agree. You don't need to say I agree 100%. I mean, do you agree 90%? Because if you do, you don't agree.
But I think you've hit a nail. It's something I've noticed in recent times as well, Andy, and it's not just because of the small screens and Googles and Microsofts that we're addicted to. It's also this politico speak, isn't it? The people try to buy time. They're scared of opinion straight off, so they won't come straight out. They won't consider without speaking. So how often do you hear people ask a question and they say, that's a very good question, because they're trying to come up with something sensible and intelligent to say. They don't have an answer.
Well, that's thinking time, is that? That's the pause to think. And, I mean, I listen to your show a lot. I sometimes wonder why. But I do listen to...
Wounding!
I do listen to Dubai Eye quite a lot. But it's just, you have these learned professionals on with master's degrees and PhDs. And I'm just horrified because they haven't even got a reasonable command of the English language, whether it be American English or English English. They just cannot speak.
Right. I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to take the just-a-minute challenge. I'm going to try and do it for a couple of hours of avoiding redundant words. I can't make any promises. But, Andy, thanks very much indeed for your thoughts.
You just count them. Just count the actuallys, essentiallys, basicallys, and absolutelys, please.
I was about to say absolutely will there, but I'm not going to. I
there
will.
You go, you
no, I will, Andy. I'm changed. I'm a changed man. Bless you. Thanks very much indeed for that one. Really appreciate it. Lovely to chat with you. Have a good day.
See you, bye.
Cheers.
It's time to have your say. The Agenda with Tom Urquhart on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right, we are. Let's get back into it. Thank you very much indeed to one and all for their thoughts and their opinions. We're talking smartphones in schools. Do they have a place? Yes, no, or I don't know will suffice. Thanks very much indeed to Andy for joining us a little earlier on. Andy, always appreciate your honesty and your comments, so thank you for getting in touch. Thanks also for kickstarting a further conversation as well. Number of people reacting to Andy's call. What are they saying?
He has set the cat among the pigeons. Fatima says, come on, people, we're learning English, and both British and Americans, with all respect, are making it difficult for us. I am lost between both. I say, as long as you understand whatever we are saying, that is what matters. And then we've got one from here from Parth, who says, does knowing the English language alone make you educated? Andy has flaws in his point. Passion.
If you would like to get in touch with us, then we would like your thoughts, please. You can share them with us, you know the numbers. You can text on 4001 or you can give us a call on 04871 5500. Let's go to the lines now, because it's time for us to speak to our next guest.
Yeah, line 8. Keith, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
So what is your view on this? Are you ringing in because you're worried about the English language, or are you ringing in about mobile phone bans in France?
Phones.
Well, I did have to say, I did find Andy's view very, very amusing. I think there's some truth to it, for sure. My concern is, and I've been studying endocrinology for some time, and there certainly was some precautionary data coming out on the use of mobile phones and wireless technologies. And there's a really good website, actually, called Australia Wi-Fi in Schools, that lists all the scientific data. Probably one of the big problems that children are exposed to is EMF technology and wireless technology is shown to be distorting hormones. And if you look at, say, reproductive tissue, which is especially prone to damage, it's because it has a high turnover of tissue and energy. It produces a lot of compounds that can damage that tissue. And there is a lot of data now that suggests that that studies that they've done in rats and exposure to their reproductive tissue, it's very damaging. So if you can imagine lots of children walking around with mobile phones in their pockets, you see some children that are walking, or they're in a buggy and they've got a mobile phone, or they've got a tablet in their lap, and that's posing some risk over time. We don't know how much yet. And like I said, there was precautionary data, but there's actually now some real hard data on what this kind of technology is doing.
It's really interesting, because as you say, I assume an ongoing experiment at the moment. We don't have enough data, given the advent of the mobile phone, to really understand the impact. We know it's had a significant impact immediately on our lives, but in terms of long-term health, we're waiting to see.
Well, there's certainly not real longitudinal data, but there are kind of studies done on mammals with very similar biology that show that there is a real risk. I've always gone along the lines, because we don't have this data yet, I can see this being, if there's not unrestricted growth and there's not kind of restrictions put on, particularly in developing biology, that there could be, it could be as big as the smoking, where we didn't have the data to suggest that smoking caused lung cancer, but it took all that time and denial and counter science to squash what was going on, that it did show a clear link. Mm. And I think France was actually one of the first schools that banned Wi-Fi in schools, because they know that there's clear data on the developing central nervous system, the neurobiology, how we kind of develop our brains and skills and cognition, that there was real risk. And that's why certain countries have actually banned Wi-Fi. And I think them taking their logical step of banishing further Wi-Fi technology is really just an extension of their thought on what's driving this.
In terms of the sort of physical impact that we are seeing imparted by the mobile era, the mobile generation on children, but others these days, I mean, is there also research there? We're talking about research in terms of tissue within the body, whether that comes from putting a mobile phone to your ear, whether that comes from carrying it around in your pockets. What about the actual physical thing of people checking their screens? It's one thing that I'm concerned about with regards to my children. I almost sort of see a changing in their form with the bent neck and the chin on the chest. Is that something to be concerned about as well, Keith, do you think?
Well, there's a movement within the kind of physical therapy, well, that looks at something like text neck. And really, we do see adaptive changes with regards to tissue. The research isn't out on whether that's really problematic yet, but you can see clear postural changes. Yeah. Now, breathing pattern dysfunction, for example, is one thing that we see a lot of. And when you're kind of bent over, it's a bit like being set at a desk all the time. You can alter how you breathe, which is essential to how you stabilize and also essential to how you manage your kind of metabolism to a degree as well when you alter how you breathe. So that there can be big connections between physical structure. One of the other structures as well, that there are some studies that have shown that mobile phone technology is starting to alter thyroid hormone physiology. Right. Now, that can play a huge part in many things, from how your cells function to how you metabolize foods to how much pain and tightness you can get in with tissues. So, you know, it becomes a link that's kind of multifactorial. It's not just the physical, it's a biochemical, and that can lead, obviously, to the psychological issues that you might see over time.
Keith, got to go to the news now, but bless you. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts, as always. Very, very insightful indeed. So thanks very much, my friend, for calling into the show.
Take care, Tom.
Good to hear from Keith, regular here on Dubai Eye, regular voice, regular contributor to a variety of shows. And great to have him here, a man who works tirelessly to help us all live a healthier life here in the UAE.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.